Shalom! Holy Scriptures and Israel is a ministry designed to share with the Jewish people the good news of the Lord Jesus, Yeshua the Messiah, and to instruct Christians on the Jewish roots of their faith. And now, teaching God's Word from a Hebrew Messianic perspective, here is Gideon Levitam.
Okay, shalom everyone. Can we please turn to the book of Hebrews again? And this is our next session in the study of the book of Hebrews. Today we are continuing in the fourth chapter, Hebrews chapter 4, and we are starting in our reading from verse 14, Hebrews 4:14. Hebrews chapter 4, and we have the next passage that deal with the superiority of Yeshua the Messiah. He is already, we have learned, superior than the angels, chapter 1 and chapter 2. We have learned also that he is superior over Moses, chapter 3 till chapter 4 and verse 13. This long portion from chapter 4 verse 14 to chapter 10 and verse 18, we see the superiority of Yeshua the Messiah, but this time is over Aaron, the high priest. He's greater than Aaron. He's superior than Aaron. And in this long section, chapter 4:14 to chapter 10:18, we can see that he's superior in his priesthood than Aaron, the high priest of our people of old Israel. In this section, which will take a while to cover, we can also see that he received a greater covenant. He has a greater position than Aaron. You will see that he is greater than Aaron in many, many ways. And in the midst of this section, you will find out that there are also additional warnings that have been given by the writer to the Hebrew believers to continue on, and a warning that they need to move forward in their spiritual maturity, even though the nation of Israel is a nation, their own people, our own families, have not yet come to faith in the Messiahship of Yeshua. The portion that I'm going to read today, in chapter 4, verse 14, to chapter 5, verse 10, I might not cover that today, but there we see that the Messiah Yeshua is greater than Aaron, the high priest. It's like an introduction to the rest of the chapters, up to chapter 10 and verse 18. So let me read the passage. I begin from verse 14 of chapter 4. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Yeshua the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession or our confession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. I'm stopping here with the reading for today. Hebrews 4, verse 14. This is the passage that we have before us this moment. Now, let me refresh your mind, beloved brothers and sisters. We have covered the portion, if you remember, in the last meetings together, Hebrews 3, 7 to chapter 4 and verse 13. It was, if you remember, the second warnings that the writer gave to these first century Jewish believers in Yeshua the Messiah. And that was the warning, not only do not neglect, but this time don't doubt. Believe what God said. Don't doubt, but believe what God said, because when God said he's going to fulfill his word, and even if you are being influenced, even if you are going under tremendous amounts of pressure because you believe in the Messiah, Don't doubt the word of God. Believe what the Lord is saying. Why? Because he said, today if you hear his word, do not harden your heart as in the provocation. Here those Hebrew believers received the information which their forefathers have doubted. If you remember, when Israel was on the way from Egypt to Canaan, their fathers doubted the word of God, and because of unbelief, the generations that did not believe end up to die in the desert and not to enter into Canaan. Now, their death in the desert does not mean, it's not a picture of an eternal death. It's a picture of the physical death and even, in a sense, a lack of the enjoyment of the things of the Lord for the believer in this present day. Remember I said last time that Canaan is not heaven for us. In Canaan, Israel had many fights, many struggles, many trials. In the land of Canaan. For us, Canaan is the spiritual experience as we walk with the Lord. And every time we take possession of the piece of land that belonged to us, spiritual land, if you will, spiritual blessings that God had given to us, we take it and we enjoy what we have already, what God had promised to us, but we can enjoy it today while we are still on the way to heaven. So he gave them warning. He says, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. And if you remember, by the way, the last two verses we read in Hebrews chapter 4 was these very piercing words in the Bible, verses 12 and 13. The word of God is quick and powerful and sharp as two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intent of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we, the writer and the readers, have to do. So the last two verses that we have read in chapter 4 and verse 12 and 13, verses that he challenged, not the unbelievers here in context, the believers, those, the Hebrew believers that belong to Yeshua, the Messiah, he tell them, listen, God's word is quick. God's word is living, operative. God's word is sharper, is powerful, and is sharper than two-edged sword, and it's able to pierce, to divide asunder the soul and the spirit, and is able to discern the thoughts and the intents of the hearts. What he's really telling us is simply this. What God says in his word is not going to change. The word of God convicts the believer. The word of God discerns where the believer is standing. Whether the believer is seeking really to trust the Lord and believe what God says. The Messiah follower, the Christian, the follower of Yeshua, at times, because of unbelief, lacking the enjoyment of spiritual growth, and the word of God detected. Do you know that God's word detect, and I'm sure you have experienced it, detect the spiritual state of every child of God. That's what it does. You know very well when you are not right with the Lord. I know it very well when I am not right with the Lord. Somehow, the scripture convicting the conscience, the heart of the believer. We know that. And telling us, Gideon, you are not right. You said the wrong thing. You have done the wrong things. You shouldn't have been in that place. You shouldn't have done. It's convicting us. We are not talking, of course, it can convict the unbeliever, but here in this text, in the context of this passage, it's speaking to Hebrew believers in Yeshua the Messiah of first century. And it's speaking to you and I also. It says the word of God is sharp, is quick, is powerful, is discerning everything, every thought. And it says in verse 13, neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. And I want again to emphasize, notice, it's not in whom they have to do, but in whom we, the writer Jewish believer, the readers Jewish believers, and you and I who believe in Yeshua the Messiah, in with whom we have to do. We're going to have to deal with the Lord. He's going to deal with us. And he wants the affection of us to be set upon him. And brothers and sisters, this is so real. This is not for those there or for somebody else. This is for those believers who need to grow and need to mature and need to go in the right way. And he says, listen, days, everything is naked and open before the Lord. And we all need to give account to the Lord. And sometimes we feel like taking our faces and put it on the ground and cover it, because God knows our hearts and he knows things that we will never want to put it on a big screen that nobody will know. Yet God knows everything about us. And that's why he challenges us. And that's why here he's saying to them, listen, let us labor therefore that we enter into that rest. Spiritual progress rest. Lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. And so now when he had finished that section, the second warning, the warning that he had given to them, do not doubt, be careful not to doubt God's word, chapter 3, verse 7 to chapter 4 and verse 13. Now he's passing to continue now to show them the next person that Yeshua is greater than. This person now is Aaron, the high priest of the people of Israel. And so the text is a long text that deal with Aaron and the greatness of Yeshua over Aaron. And this is all the way from 4 to 10, about 6, 7 chapters. But we're going to take it a cut at a time, a portion at a time. And by the way, in between all these chapters, 6 or 7 chapters, there are additional warnings that he gives to those Hebrew believers, and he gives it to us as well. So now here's the section, and that's very precious. You see, in verses 14, 15, and 16, he shows us that Yeshua, the Messiah, and the Savior, the Redeemer, is superior than Aaron, even in the title, in the position that he holds, and the title that he receives. You notice how it starts, by the way? In verse 14, there are three beautiful thoughts that we have here. I'm reading verse 14 once again. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Yeshua, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. Verse 14 in itself highlight for us three wonderful things here that we have about the Lord. The first thing that you notice here, he is the one that is called not only a high priest, but a great high priest. You notice that? Seeing then, the writer said to the Hebrew believers, that we have not only a high priest, but a great high priest. Isn't it amazing? Look at the title. You remember with Aaron, when, if you will read in the book of Exodus, chapter 28, you will read how God gave Moses, Moshe, instruction about placing Aaron in his high priestly service. You notice that Aaron was called a priest or high priest. Aaron was never called a great high priest. Here we see the title of our blessed Lord Yeshua the Messiah, that in his title, he's great high priest. In other words, there are many high priests, there are many priests, but there is only one that we can call him a great high priest. And why do we need priests, beloved brothers and sisters? You know why we need a priest? Even today, among our people in the land of Israel, you'll ask any Jewish person, you want to reach God, you want to communicate with the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. How do you communicate with him? Well, he will tell you, I got to go to the synagogue, go to the rabbi, go to the spiritual leaders, And I got to go through him because he is the one that is the mediator between me, the Israeli, ordinary Jewish, Hebrew, Israeli individual, and the God of our fathers. It is very natural for our people Israel to feel like that. Why? Simply because the Bible teaches us this. When Israel came out of Egypt, even before our people of Olive entered into the land of Canaan, God had already given instruction to the people of Israel. He had given Moses the responsibility to establish in the midst of the nation the priesthood. And you remember Aaron from the tribe of Levi, have been chosen to be the high priest. No one will ever dare to approach God without the high priest. No one will ever dare to approach the presence of God without the mediator. They had to come to God via the high priest. The high priest had his sons. Aaron had his sons. And they had the Levites. And the priesthood service was there before the nation of Israel. So when an Hebrew or Israel individual want to approach the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the tabernacle, even in the wilderness, he had to go through the priests, and the priests through the high priest ultimately, to go into the immediate presence of God. They couldn't do it on their own. There was a distance that was existed between the nation of Israel and God. Though they were near, yet there was a distance at the same time. The mediator had to be there, the high priest, and the priest, and the function. You want to offer a sacrifice for sins? You got to take the lamb or the ram or the goat or any animal that will be suitable animal. You got to bring it before the priest, and the priest will do what he does with the responsibility to minister to that particular Israeli individual. And so he says, listen, for seeing then that we have a great high priest, he was saying to these first century Jewish believers in the Messiah. Now remember, when he said this to them, just visualize in your mind for a moment. You and I today don't have priests functioning in any temple here in Toronto or Tel Aviv or New York or Chicago, whatever city in this world. We don't have this priest functioning today. But when he was writing to these Hebrews, they were seeing with their eyes the high priest functioning. They were seeing with their eyes the priests functioning in the temple. They could see and feel and touch and examine and observe the order of service among the people of Israel. But now they believe in Jesus, the Messiah. And they were outcasts. And they felt it. And they were perhaps desiring to go to the temple, and they could do it any time. They could go to the temple and they can offer the sacrifices and go to the prison. He can be the mediator for them between them and the God of our fathers. But then when they believe in Yeshua, they needed to learn the greater information that God had given unto them. That's why the writer said to them, we, again, I want you to notice, we, you and I, we as believers, we have not only a priest like in the temple, not only a high priest like in the temple, but we have a great high priest. He's superior than Aaron in the title that he have. We have a great high priest. This is the greater title that Yeshua, the Messiah, have received, greater than Aaron, greater than Aaron's sons, greater than Aaron's descendants. That's what he is teaching those first century Hebrew believers. Now here's the second thing that is very interesting here in this verse. Not only that he's greater in his title, that he's called great high priest, but then we see that this great high priest, it says in the second half of verse 14, that is passed into or through the heavens. Now, let's pause on this thought here for a moment. Now, what do you think in your mind? Or what do you think those Hebrew believers thought in their mind when he was telling them, we have a great high priest that he's passed through the heavens? Do you know what they were thinking immediately? The word here, by the way, I know in the King James it says pass into heavens, but it actually should be correctly to be said passed through the heavens. And I tell you why it is so important to use the word through rather than into. Because when those Hebrew believers received that letter, they already at that time understood that the high priest once a year need to pass through various courts in order to get to the Holy of Holies. And if you know that there were those five courts in the temple. The courts of the Gentiles, the courts of the women, the courts of the Israeli men, the court of the priests and the Levites, and the court of the high priest, which is the Holy of Holies. When the high priest had once a year to offer a sacrifice for the nation of Israel, to represent the nation of Israel before God, you know what he had to do? He had to walk through the Gentile court, continue in further in, go pass by the Israeli women's court, and then through the men court, and then he's going to pass through the holy place where the priests could function, and finally to enter into Kodesh HaKodashim, the Holy of Holies. Now, when we remember the Day of Atonement, we think about Aaron going to the Holy of Holies. Aaron had to enter there only one day in a year. He couldn't come there at any time. But he passed through all these other courts to get in. And then here you see the writer said, look, I know you see that. I know what you're experiencing, you Hebrew believers in the land of Israel. I know what you're experiencing. I know what you see with your eyes. I know how dear it is to your heart when your people, your nation, the nation of Israel is practicing what God have ordained. God had given this tabernacle and the temple order. God had given this. But now the Messiah have come. Everything that is a shadow and type of Yeshua the Messiah, when he had come, he did not only go to the Holy of Holies in the temple in Jerusalem, but he had passed through the heavens. He have entered into the immediate presence of God. Yeshua the Messiah, when he finished the work on the tree for us, he not only that he finished the work, but God have taken him and brought him into his immediate presence to sit down there and to be that great high priest to intercede on behalf of the people of God. Hebrews is saying to them, listen, the Lord Yeshua the Messiah passed through into the immediate presence of God, passed through the clouds or the heavenly realms into the immediate presence of God. He is there appearing in the presence of God for you. He is greater, not only in the title that he has, he is greater in the place that he takes. Is far superior than the Holy of Holies in the temple in Jerusalem. He have entered into the immediate presence of God, you Hebrew believers in Yeshua the Messiah, he say. And I want you just to see that. You remember when the Lord died on the cross, on the tree, on the Roman cross. And you remember there when he lifted up his eyes and lifted up his voice to the Father. And he said, you remember in one of the passages, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. At other point of time when he was on the cross, he said, Elohi, Elohi, lama azavtani. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? But there was another point where he says, it is finished. And you remember that when he cried, it is finished, the veil of the temple had been rent, but it was not rent from the bottom to the top, but it was rent from the top to the bottom. When he finished the work on the tree, God, as if it were, opened himself and he ripped this veil. He opened it from the top to the bottom. And the entrance now was not only to the temple now, it had been available for the believer, but into the Holy of Holies into the immediate presence of God. That's what happened with Yeshua, the Messiah, finished the work on the cross, on the tree. And then they put him in a tomb. And after 3 days, when he was in the tomb, 3 days and three nights, he rose from among the dead. And then he was ushered later on, after 40 days, into the immediate presence of God. And I want you to see that if you just turn with me to the book of Luke chapter 24. And you'll see at the end of this chapter what we read. Luke chapter 24. We read about Yeshua the Messiah and his exit outside of this world into the immediate presence of God. Luke chapter 24. We read there at the end of the chapter. It says this. And behold, verse 49. I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye here in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endowed with the power from on high. And he led them out as far as Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and he blessed them. And it came to pass while he blessed them, listen to this, he was parted from them and he was carried up into heaven, and they worshipped him. Beloved brothers and sisters, you see, when he finished the work on the tree, God have opened the heavens, and he took Yeshua the Messiah into his immediate presence of God, passing through the heavens, through the immediate heavens, which is the sky before us, through the created heavens such as the sun, the moon, and the stars, the second heavens, into the immediate presence of God. The third heaven, as we read about this in 2 Corinthians 12, the Apostle Paul says about himself that he was caught up into the third heaven.
You have been listening to the Holy Scriptures and Israel with Gideon Levitam. Gideon teaches God's Word from a Hebrew Messianic perspective. For more information about this ministry, write to Holy Scriptures and Israel, Box 1411, Niagara-on-the-Lake, Ontario, L0S1J0, or visit our website at holyscripturesandisrael.com. You are also invited to Gideon's weekly Bible teaching on Fridays at 11 a.m. and 7 p.m., and Saturdays at 1 p.m. at Willowdale Christian Assembly Hall, 28 Martin Ross Avenue in Toronto. Holy Scriptures and Israel is made possible by your prayers and financial support. If you would like to support the program, visit holyscripturesandisrael.com. God bless you. Shalom, shalom.